If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of the Mind Pump, so we talk all about fitness and health, but we also have a lot of fun. The first 38 minutes is our...
We always have fun, Sal.
That we do. The first 38 minutes is our introductory fun conversation. Here's what we talked about in that part and then in the rest of the episode. We start out by talking about Justin's beautiful rack. It's got such a nice rack.
It's glorious.
It's made by PRX. You can... obviously, it's great for squats. It's great for overhead presses. It folds into the wall. Does amazing things. We're also doing a crazy giveaway where you're going to get all of the equipment that Justin has in his home gym. They're going to give that away for free.
Not mine, your own.
Listen to this episode because we have all the details on how you can enter into that contest. Then we also talk about the big business vegan conspiracy. I think they're all working together to screw us. Then we talked
about a lot of sense.
Adam brought up racist Nikes again. Gosh, man. We talked about the NFL player Myles Garrett and his 675-pound quarter squat. We all got tagged on that, and everybody wanted to know what our opinions were on that, so we give it in this that part of this episode. Then we talked about how we like to use Organifi's green juice when vegetables are not present. Now, Organifi is a company that makes organic supplements like protein powders, green juices like the one we talk about in this episode, and much more. If you go to Organifi.com/mindpump and use the code mindpump, you'll get 20% off everything in their store. Then Justin brings up a movie that he thought was silly, Aquaman. Although
terrible.
Yeah, although his wife liked that one, I think.
Yeah.
Then I talked about the documentary on North Korea. They're crazy. We talked about Russell Crowe's new Showtime series, and I mentioned how awesome he was in Les Miserables. Then I brought up a study that
show tunes
connected processed foods, preservatives, and autism. Oh, shit. And then I talked about how Kettle and Fire Bone Broth has a new subscription model where you can actually sign up and get bone broth delivered to your door every single month for a discount. Now, if you go to kettleandfire.com/mindpump, you'll get 20% off all their products and free shipping if you get 6 products or more. Then we get into the fitness portion of this episode. The first question, this person wants to know if resistance bands are useful or if they're just a gimmick. The next question, this person stopped using wrist wraps and a belt while deadlifting, and now they can't lift as much. Are they going to continue to make progress, or is their progress going to slow down and stall because they're not able to lift as much? The next question, how hard is it to lose muscle? So we talk about the things that you can do to actually lose muscle, and don't know why you would want to do that, and whether or not it's actually difficult or easy. And the final question, this person is 2 months postpartum and has really, really bad forward shoulder. That's the posture where the shoulders roll forward, the head juts forward, looks like you're on your computer all the time. So we talk about how she can correct this posture deviation in her, and about 80% of you listening right now will probably benefit from that advice. Also, this month, all month long, MAPS Anywhere is 50% off. Now, this program is designed to be used anywhere. So you don't need a gym. You don't need fancy equipment. You just need your body and some resistance bands for an effective muscle building, fat burning workout. This program is very effective, and it's also, of course, very convenient. It's good for travel,
at work, outside, all of those.
Do it anywhere. So here's what you do for the discount. Go to mapswhite.com. That's MAPSWHITE.com. And use the code ANYWHERE50, that's ANYWHERE50, no space, for the discount. What was that ACD song, ACDC?
Big Gun.
Or the Dirty Deeds one I did.
No, he's
dirty. The Big Gun.
The Big Gun one.
Number one.
Yes, there it is. That's
big
the one.
Big Gun.
Wasn't that...
It was in a movie, I think.
Yeah. Oh, God, bro. Me and you today are connected a little bit.
A little bit.
It was...
We're not docking or anything.
No.
Don't get crazy.
A lot of docking. Gosh,
don't get crazy.
It was the Schwarzenegger movie, Last Action Hero. That's it.
Yes.
That's the one.
Yes.
You remember Last Action Hero?
I do remember that movie.
Schwarzenegger has like the best soundtracks for all his movies. Yeah. You notice that?
He's just a champion.
Guns N' Roses.
Although,
to him going vegan, this whole thing.
It's a little disappointing.
But let's all be honest in this room right now. It's just us.
He's getting older, though.
It's brilliant.
It's just us. Let's all be honest.
there's pure anybody, marketing ploy.
If there's anybody on Earth who could make you go vegan.
The Terminator, for sure.
It's Arnold.
Yeah.
He's the only, like, if I met with him in person and he sat me down,
right, Sal, I'm convinced.
I need to talk to you. Like, okay, let's talk about this for a second. You know, 30 minutes later, I'd come back and be like, I don't know, guys. I feel like you can get all the protein you want from peas.
You're too squishy and girly. You know need to be vegan.
Yeah, I don't think he's going full vegan, though.
Fine.
I think he's just going plant based. And then selling vegan supplements. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
Damn it, Arnold, you closed.
Hey, I saw your story yesterday, Justin. What were you?
Is this the one where he showed off his rack? You've got a nice.
I do have a nice rack.
Unbelievable.
Thank you for noticing.
No, the one with his he had his drill gun and he was trying to get something.
Oh yeah, I took that. I was like, that was so creepy. I had to like take that down quickly. I was doing more work on my house because I was prepping it because I just wanted it to display the rack a little bit better. So I put this like some wood paneling and stuff behind it and made it look a little bit nicer down there. So
this is the gym that you like kind of made it look nicer.
Yeah. And I got new mats and stuff and I've been meaning to do this anyway because it just started getting away from me and the kids were all in there and there's all these toys everywhere and it was getting crazy. So I wanted to like, look, this is the gym. It needs to be clean. It needs to be tidy. It needs to have, you know, the weights all have a place. Like everything has a place. There's order. I wanted to go in and be like, yeah, I'm ready to work out. So now it looks like that. It's awesome.
How often are you using it?
Dude, probably at least 4 to 5 times a week. The time.
You're straight up. That's where you're getting most of your workouts.
Most of it. Yeah, I'll do one here every now and then, but very infrequently. So I'll do it at the studio.
What was Taylor and them over there shooting for? They came over and they shot video and stuff. And
yeah, so we did some pictures and we did some video and stuff for, get this, dude, PRX is willing to do this massive giveaway of my exact setup, like everything that I got for my rack, my weights, like the way I have it with the bench that folds down, all that stuff. Like, we're gonna promote this giveaway.
Well, so Rachel texted me all of the stuff that's gonna happen. So this is crazy on PRX's part. So
it's a huge,
for people who don't know, PRX makes some of the best home gym equipment you can find, and what makes it so good is it's obviously sturdy, well made, high quality, but it also has unique capabilities of being able to fold flat against the wall. So you have a squat rack that's fully functional, like very functional, very, very sturdy, but then it folds into the wall so you have room in your garage. The bench does the same thing. They have a glute ham raise that does the same thing where it comes out from the wall, folds into the wall. So it, because one of the biggest complaints with home gyms is it just takes
it
up too much space.
It takes up everything. Right. No, there's so much freedom in it. It's all on the wall, everything. It's all open space otherwise.
Right. So what they're going to do for our audience is they're actually going to do a giveaway where they're going to give, this is what you'll win. This is crazy. You're going to get a profile squat rack, just like Justin, a folding bench, just like Justin, Olympic Elite Bar, 245-pound crumb rubber set, and they profile weight storage 3-peg. All of that is what they're going to give away in this giveaway. So you're going to win like thousands of dollars worth of equipment.
Didn't I hear that Rachel said if they did all that, that she would also give the super bundle away too?
And the super bundle.
Oh, snap.
So you're going to get, if you enter.
Is it Christmas? Christmas coming soon?
Well, this is a crazy giveaway. So you get all that, plus you get the MAP super bundle.
How many thousands of dollars is that worth of product?
That's a couple thousand easy.
Easily. Wow. How do you enter into this? Oh, it starts on Friday the 5th. That's going to be when this is air. This will air the night of this contest, and it ends Sunday, July 14th. So what you got to do is you got to go to prxperformance.com/mindpump. So prxperformance.com/mindpump. Enter your email. And then you have to go back, follow Mind Pump Media and PRX Performance on Instagram.
Dude, I'm excited about this. I like, we haven't had like a big, massive giveaway like this before. Like, this is one of those things, like, I would be chomping at the bit to get that.
This is the biggest. Well, hold on. There's one more step. Then you go to Mind Pump Media Instagram page on Friday the 5th and like the giveaway post and tag a friend in the comments. And then you can enter an unlimited amount. And then on the 15th, we're going to randomly select the winner. And you'll get all that shit.
Now, I believe Rachel's going to post all those instructions on the Instagram page.
On the Instagram page.
Right. Yeah. So if we just tell everybody that's listening right now that's interested in trying to win.
We'll be driving to it too with our stories, and you could swipe up and enter and all that kind of stuff. It'll be easy.
This is the biggest giveaway that any of our partners I think have ever
the
done,
biggest.
Right?
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love all that shit.
No,
I'm pumped
cool.
they were willing to do it. I was really surprised.
Yeah. So, hey, so I read something yesterday that was, it's a conspiracy, but you guys know how much I love conspiracies. This one is too, fascinating. So I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not. I'm sure you guys have. We talk about this all the time, not specifically, but around this topic, that there seems to be this big media push for people to eat vegan or not eat animal products.
Yes.
And it's coming from everywhere. It feels like it's coming from everywhere. They're teaching it in public schools. That it's more sustainable, it's healthier, it's better for the planet, all that stuff. You're seeing media companies push it. You're seeing
lots of documentaries
coming out. And the truth is, and we've done whole entire episodes on this, the truth is you can eat a very healthy diet in a number of different ways. It can be a vegan diet, although, to be quite honest, a very healthy vegan diet requires a lot more planning.
Lots of planning.
Than an omnivore type diet. And you can eat a very healthy diet that includes lots of well-sourced meats and dairy and whatnot, so long as you can tolerate those foods. So you can eat a very, 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 very healthy diet in a variety of different ways. So it's like a conspiracy because they keep pushing this, and I'm like, look, you're going to make a lot of people unhealthy because they have no idea around nutrition to begin with. You're going to make them go vegan. They're going to get nutrient deficiencies and issues because they don't put the time into plan anyway. Now they're just going to go vegan. It's going to be real bad for them. So I've been thinking that anyway. I read this article that outlined kind of what might be going on.
Dude, I can guess, right? Is this the article that was talking about like how profitable it is right now, like as they're making these fake meats?
$3 trillion industry now?
Well, think about it this way.
It's something that's ridiculous.
The biggest markets in food is the ability, and this only happened in the 90s. So this hasn't been with us for a long time, but it was in the mid 90s when this kind of hit the market, is the ability to genetically modify and then patent plants. And they've been doing that with GMO seeds, and it's a huge business. Like, you know, if you patent a plant and then it's, you know, it withstands, you know, pesticides and herbicides, and you can sell it and it's easy to produce or whatever, you're making hundreds of billions of dollars.
So that explains how the Impossible Burger exploded and why everybody has to call it the Impossible Burger, just because they have patented how to create that. Is that how?
I think they call it the Impossible Burger because it looks like meat, tastes like meat, but it's not. So it's like marketing.
Yeah, but
you're right. It is made by
Has to be a company.
It's a company.
It's their product.
Yeah. And you could be at all these different restaurants, and they all are referring to it as Impossible Burger. Which
there's a competing one to that too.
Which leads me to believe that's probably because in order to create that, to make that one, you have the patent, right?
Well, you've got the patent on the food itself, because it's protected like any food. Like if I made a muffin and branded it, I could do that. But the ingredients that we use to make certain things, look, here's the deal. If you eat meat, chicken, fish, beef,
there's no patent on that.
No, because we have yet to approve genetically modified animals. Now, they're moving in that direction, but people understandably are far more apprehensive because, you know, if you have a genetically modified plant, nobody thinks twice about it. But as soon as they start genetically modifying animals, people get a little bit like, oh, I don't know if I want to eat that type. So the market isn't there yet. And so if they push people to eat more and more plants, it's easier to control and corner the market.
Wow.
Now they can sell.
That is a great conspiracy.
And I totally.
That makes a lot of sense.
Makes
dude,
a lot of sense.
It's always about money.
Of course.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, you have to get everybody to buy into that mentality in order to create these products. Well, there's like massive amounts of money waiting for you.
Totally.
Wow. Well, since we're talking about conspiracy theories, I didn't even know you were going to go this direction. Like,
yeah, you might as well.
I've got to bring up what I think is a conspiracy theory right now that I posted on my Insta story, which was the racist Nikes.
Are you talking about what was it? Who designed
Nike released a shoe, a 4th of July shoe. And on the back of it, it's got the original, you know, flag when the 13
colonies.
Yeah, the 13 colonies with the circle.
Yes.
And what happens?
Betty Ross?
Betsy Ross.
Excuse me.
So not, but I don't even think 24 hours hit, and Colin Kaepernick came out and called it racist, and did all kinds of shit about it, post about it, and everything. and Nike pulls it back. Now, here's the conspiracy. That
Boy, those shoes are going to be worth a lot of money now.
Well, not only that,
did
but...
Did they even produce them?
Right, I don't even know how many they actually produced, but I believe that they're in cahoots. I think that Nike...
Is he sponsored by them?
Yes.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I think Nike and Kaepernick, I think they made this shoe knowing that they can make someone do this. This makes Nike look woke, too, right? Nike put something out like that. Colin Kaepernick says, oh, I can't believe that. That's racist. Nike says, don't worry. We'll pull it down. We would never want to offend anybody. Now, meanwhile, you divide the rest of the country in half on people saying, that's ridiculous. It's not racist. The other half saying, oh, my God.
So everybody talking about
it. So what are we doing again? Just
yeah,
like with Colin Kaepernick? Yes, we're fucking all talking about
because
it.
Because I made them a lot
He's
of money.
He's the ringleader of the circus.
Yes. Nike made a fuck ton of money off of the whole thing with Kaepernick last time and not standing and saluting and all that shit.
Wow.
So, My belief is that this was their plan from the beginning. I don't believe they came out with this shoe and by chance Colin Kaepernick comes out, calls it racist, and then they pull it off the market. I think they knew that they set it up that way for him to do that, so now they get all this pub.
It's so gross. It's so predatory on like the state of the climate of our culture right now.
It's the next level of marketing, in my
opinion.
It's
crazy.
If you can get people to feel like they have to pick a side, you've won.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you make people feel like, I'm going to stand over here. Oh, you know, you over here in this category, we have a product for you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You've just crushed it.
Yeah.
It's so silly.
And even if, found the hack.
And even if you don't feel that you need to take a side, like I don't care, but it doesn't matter. I'm thinking about Nikes. I'm on the website. I'm diving through their stuff. Now I'm going to get hit cookies all week long now.
That's really smart.
So he's saying it's racist because it's the original colony flag. And why? Because the colonies had slaves? Is that what
he's
saying?
Well, I mean,
different times.
Name one nation that wasn't, you know, that didn't do that when they were, you know, 300, 400 years ago. I mean, that was what happened throughout the whole world.
Yeah, it was all over the world.
We have to be very careful with this. I think it's important that we identify the terrible things that people did. Humans evolve, and we evolve as a group. Slavery was a terrible thing that a lot of nations did hundreds of years ago, but it's not the only terrible thing that they did. They did a lot of shit that was terrible back in those days. I mean, horrible shit. The way they lived, the way men treated women, the way people treated other people with disabilities, and we evolved. So it's important to identify it and be like, hey, this was some shit that we did a long time ago, but it's also important to say that's not me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That was what people did back then, but they're not the same as the people who are around today. And the flag with the colonies on it, the circle stars or whatever, that just represents the first flag of America. Yeah. It doesn't represent...
You're adding all this excess negativity towards it.
Well, the irony of that, too, is that flag was flown at Obama's inauguration speech. Yeah. So it's flying behind him, and it's like, okay, it wasn't racist then when he was talking about it. But
just be consistent
but
if
now
you're
going to
be offended.
Nike's throwing it on a pair of sneakers, also we're going to call it. To me, it was just a brilliant move by Nike to create drama that doesn't even exist.
Brilliant.
And conversation that's being had and arguments and debates, and they're at the center of attention.
They keep playing that game, though. It can backfire.
I think it will, too.
They need to be careful.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's smart right now, but I'd like to think that people are going to start to wise up to it and go like, oh, these
I'm over this, baloney.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. That's going to be interesting. I feel like it'll backfire at some point. It's one of those things where being called a racist is so bad that it doesn't matter if it's true or not, or something being called racist is so bad that
you just don't want to turn around and walk away.
Yeah, you don't even want to. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. Just the accusation of something being racist automatically causes a whole big problem, because, like you said, that flag was flown at Obama's inauguration.
Right.
It doesn't represent racism. It never has until Colin Kaepernick said, this is racist, and now there's a line in the sand, and people are going to go on either side. And I hope people can see it's getting ridiculous. Let's stop this shit.
But
Nike's going to sell a lot of shoes, so whatever. You know what I mean? As long as it keeps working, they're going to keep doing it.
Right.
So
at the end of the day,
if we get mad enough and tell them to fuck off,
well,
maybe they'll stop.
Along the lines of more drama and dividing people on conversations, did you guys get tagged as much as I did on the NFL player that was squatting, Myles Garrett?
Yep.
You guys did too?
Yeah.
I must have got...
Because he was half squatting and his form didn't look
right. Oh, it was just a half squat again?
Yeah, he was squatting 675 pounds and he was doing it like quarter squats, right? Yeah. And just...
And he wasn't super great. His knees looked like they traveled.
I mean, people were just crucifying him. And, you know, PJ Performance, our buddy did an episode where he addressed LeBron James when LeBron James's video went viral and everybody was talking.
It was a great explanation that he did.
Yeah, exactly. And he did another one recently, an interview where he talked, and I think that one might have been with Dr. Andy Galpin. I can't remember if this is the one or not, but they talked about at what point is there diminishing returns. Like, so first the argument is... these are basketball players. They're not bodybuilders. They're not people that care about, you know, optimal range of motion. They are
full muscle hypertrophy.
They're not trying to generate force that low.
Right. What they care about is he's going to train. It's going to translate to his explosiveness on the basketball court. And training in the range of motion that you use on the basketball court does make a lot of sense. Now, that being said, one of the points that PJ brings up, our buddy, is that there's a point of diminishing return. Like there's a point where that makes sense, but then there's a point where when you're going so heavy and then the form is breaking down, the load is starting to create deviations or problems in it. Now you've gone too far. Yeah. So,
and it's also important to note that trainers like him and others say that when you first start working out, full range of motion is most important. You're dealing with...
Yeah, you want to establish a good base.
Yeah, you're dealing with athletes at the pinnacle who, through a lot of their career, trained full range of motion, trained full range of motion with, you know, good form or whatever. So, but this guy's form, when you're watching it, was... And now he's an athletic phenom. I don't think... you could train this guy all kinds of wrong and he's going to fucking do crazy shit.
No, totally.
You know?
I think that the real takeaway I could only respond to so many, I got so many DMs about it. The handful of people that I engaged in the conversation around it was, you know, we don't know that person's programming and what else they're doing. And what I do know is that he's an athlete and his goals are completely different than the average person that's exercising. And that's why, so for us to point one exercise out and mock it and make fun of it and try and tear it down. Meanwhile, we don't know what the rest of this person's routine looks like. For all you know, the three sets that preceded that that little block that you saw were deep, full range of motion squats that are controlled and good form and technique. And therefore, if that's the case, then it does bring a little more.
It's definitely not the way that. I mean, one thing I can say is it's not the way that most people should squat.
Right.
But when you're dealing with an athlete of that caliber, the type of adaptations and performance you're looking to improve upon are so specific that their training is not going to look anything like the average person's. And it shouldn't. If that guy came to me, what's his name, Miles Garrett?
Yeah.
And he retired from football. He's like, I'm not playing anymore. Can you please train me? Right. I would train him with full range of motion.
Right, we would not train that way.
No, I wouldn't train him that way at all. That's a very specific thing. But yeah, I got tagged like crazy on it. Like everybody was tagged, and then people were talking shit in it or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you guys, I mean, you watch this guy perform, and he can move like insane.
No,
insane.
Totally.
But the form did. There was some issues with the form though. That if I was his trainer, I'd be able to worry about.
Exactly. I think he could easily gotten away with 400 or 500 pounds squatting that short of range of motion
without the knees doing the travel thing.
Yeah, so yeah, obviously for Instagram reasons and getting attention, they probably decided that day like, oh, let's see how high you can go. And you know, if that's a one-off situation, him doing that and he's fine from it.
I learned a long time ago that athletic performance and skill and technique, strength contribute to them, but it's not all about strength. And I learned that lesson a long time ago. I remember training with my buddy back when I used to do jiu-jitsu. I trained with my buddy Mike Swick, who used to be, he was at one point, I believe he was a third or second contender for the, I think, middleweight in the UFC, and John Fitch, who at one point I believe was the champion. And I actually rolled with both of them, and I know Swick very well. He used to work for me as a trainer, and I could outlift him in the gym, you know, no problem, with my eyes closed. I could out deadlift him, I could out squat him, I could out overhead press him, no problem. But when you get on the mat and you grapple with him, he feels like he's fucking twice as strong as me. He just feels incredibly strong. It's because he knows how to apply that strength. And there's a performance that comes with athleticism.
Yeah.
Now, if I make Swick stronger in the gym, is he going to feel stronger on the mats also? Yes. But it's not, you can't just look at somebody and watch them squat and then automatically be like, that guy's a good athlete. Mm-hmm. Look at me. I can deadlift like crazy. Put me on the field and I don't look very good.
Right.
So, but it is interesting to see. It's a different animal. Right? It is interesting to see.
Yep.
Anyway, you know, people, do you guys get messages a lot from people asking how to best use the Organifi green juice? Do you guys get that?
I do. People think that it like, and I don't want, I don't want anyone ever to think this with any supplements that we're connected to at all, that we promote somebody taking something every single day.
Or that it's a necessity.
Here's an example. So tomorrow we head out to the beach, right? And, you know, we're just doing like a little barbecue thing. We're going to hang out there with all the girls and some of the employees and stuff. And, you know, we're going to barbecue hot dogs and hamburgers. And we're on the beach.
Yeah, just a basic barbecue.
Right. And maybe some potato salad or something that'll be there. What we won't have is a bowl of broccoli, and we won't have spinach, one of this. So this is a perfect example where I would pack all of our Organifi green juice and my little water bottle, and I'll throw that in my water bottle, shake it up, and I'll drink because it's really refreshing. So I already like the taste of it. It tastes actually really good. And I'll drink that while we're out there and we're eating that. So because I know that I don't have access, or I'm not going to boil a bowl of broccoli just for the beach.
Yeah, it's way more convenient. And, you know, it's something like you have to weigh that out. And there's times like that too, when we're traveling and, you know, you're just going to end up getting a quick bite somewhere and you don't really know what that's going to look like. And that's where they have those like little single packs. And so like I have some of those in my backpack every now and then. I'll throw that in a water. It's like super easy.
That's exactly how I use it. It's like, okay, am I somewhere where I'm not going to have, because I like to eat on, and this is, I've just identified this for myself and everybody's a little different. But for me, I feel best when I have between 1 to 3 large servings of vegetables. And so when I say large, you guys have seen how I eat my vegetables. It's like
like a bowl.
Yeah, it's like a big dinner plate, and it's a heaping, you know, amount of well-cooked, typically, vegetables, because I eat a lot of them, so I need them to be easily digestible. And I'll do 1 to 2 of those, sometimes 3, every day, and I feel great. If I miss that, I start to notice issues with my digestion. I just don't feel as... I feel a little groggy. I just don't feel as good. And that typically happens when I travel or when we do stuff like we're going to do Saturday where we'll have a barbecue. That's exactly how I use the green juice. So since I'm going to be there, I'll have 1 or 2 servings of that, and then I'm going to get some of the benefits. And again, it's not a direct replacement. I want to be very clear here. Nothing is ever a direct, equal replacement to whole natural food. Nothing. Like protein powder will never equal protein from real food. It just won't. Same thing with, a powder green juice like Organifi, even though it's organic and it's well-sourced and all that stuff. The whole natural food is the best thing, but it's a good second place if you're in a situation.
Well, the reality of it is very few people are that prepared all the time. And so it's an excellent thing to have in your cupboards. It's an excellent thing.
Or Jessica has it in her purse.
Right. So does Katrina. Mm-hmm. She carries a little single individual packets. And when we're places that we didn't get veggies, then that's an easy way to do it. So to me, what I want to make clear on the podcast, because I do get a lot of these DMs, is like people ask like, oh, how do I schedule it in? It's like, no, like you don't schedule your protein shake or your green juice in your day because you think it's a healthy, good choice. You're supposed to try and eat whole foods. And the reality is there's going to be times when that's really difficult to do. And it's going to be much easier to reach in your purse or your back pocket, rip a piece of, rip it open, the package open, pour it in a water bottle, shake it up drink it. So that's the way you
use it. I'll tell you what though, I haven't had a hot dog in a long time. I am excited.
That's not what you told me.
What's that? Wow.
Yeah.
Sixth grade. We're back. When's the last time you guys have had an actual hot dog, like a hot dog and bun mustard.
So I try and make a habit of
go to a baseball game.
Yes, having one when I'm at a baseball game, and I haven't been at a baseball game in almost 2 years. So it's been 2 or 3 years since I've had.
Do you guys?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Do you guys like the whole everything on it, like the relish and the sauerkraut and all that deal?
Just ketchup.
No, I like everything on it. But I could have one just mustard too. I could have just a mustard dog, or I could pour everything on.
Oh,
it.
I love the sauerkraut.
I like it all.
Oh yeah, just heavy.
And I like my dog burnt. I like it charcoally.
Oh what?
Yeah, like all the carcinogens all over it. That's all I like.
Hey, how can I make this processed piece of meat worse?
Just char it.
Yeah,
we're going to add to death.
Hey, what would you like on your hot dog? I'll take some ketchup, mustard, and can you throw some carcinogens on that, please? Yeah. Sure, no problem. Yeah.
Do you know what else isn't going to replace anything, or replace Marvel, I should say, is DC. Have you guys watched Aquaman?
Oh, terrible.
Dude,
it was not that good.
It was so comical. Yeah. I was like watching it with my kids and my wife, and I was over at my parents, and we're all watching. My dad's all excited to show us.
Did Courtney like it though?
Yeah, but like, I mean, yeah, but she's not like super into that guy as much as Thor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
oh no, Jessica pretends. Right. As soon as we watch that movie, as soon as he comes out of the water, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm watching her face, and she's like. Nothing.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah. She just kept waiting for him to take his shirt off. Yeah. Like, when's it gonna happen? Didn't really happen.
I mean, I think that's the only reason why that show did any sort of anybody watch.
Bro, dude, it reminded me of Catwoman. The writing was that bad. The effects were terrible. It was like so cheesy.
Let's be honest. Of all the superheroes,
Aquaman, it's the worst powers.
Aquaman is the least cool. But you know, in DC, Aquaman is actually one of the strongest. Did you know that? His physical strength, he almost rivals Superman in the comic book.
And yet, still, people don't care.
And nobody gives a shit. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't care.
Yeah, because what does he do?
He's a really stupid costume.
He talks to the whales.
Yeah.
Not cool, bro.
Dude. Bring him out to
Nicole
land.
Nicole Kidman was in that, and her lines, I was just so, like, taken back. I'm like, what are they doing?
It wasn't that good.
I have to rant about it.
Speaking of movies and stuff, so when I was on the plane from Montana or whatever, by the way, do you guys know you can upgrade to, like, premier seating in a plane for, like, $50 half the time? Do you guys know that? I just learned that.
Where?
No, Alaska.
Oh, Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say Southwest.
So the trick on Alaska
I felt
is,
like such a baller.
Is that
sitting in the front? I was like, yeah.
At 23 hours and 59 minutes before your flight is to take off, you should call in and try and get upgraded to first class. And you can get first class for like $100.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for telling me that.
That's the way to go.
But anyway, I was on the plane and I had access to movies, which is kind of cool. And so they also have documentaries. So I watched a documentary. It was like a 5-part series, and I only watched the first three episodes on North Korea. And I think it was National Geographic. I think National Geographic did it. But man, are you guys familiar with the history of North Korea?
Vaguely, yeah.
No.
It's crazy. It's wild. I mean, I kind of knew it, but then to watch the documentary, like, I mean, the whole deal with Korea is, well, basically Japan was, you know, controlled them. Yeah. And then after World War II, obviously we beat the crap out of Japan and Germany. And the two superpowers that were left over.
We divided it, us and Russia.
Yeah, the two superpowers were the Soviet Union and the U.S. And that's what we did to Germany, too. We did East and West. You guys control this side. And then with Korea, we're like, well, what do we do? So they literally sat in a room. They looked at a picture of Korea, and they just drew a line. Okay, right there. It looks good. So I think it's the 38th parallel where we divided North and South Korea just because it seemed like it would make sense.
Like logical.
So in the North, the Soviets installed their puppet, you know, leader or whatever who would, you know, who's a Marxist. Mm-hmm. And in the South, we had them do their elections and stuff like that. But, you know, crazy story. And then they attacked the South, and that's why we had the Korean War. The first leader of North Korea, his son, he put in charge of the propaganda, and that's when shit got weird. That's when he was saying things like, you know,
we don't poop.
Yeah, like I don't poop because I burn all my food because I work so hard. And they literally teach their people bullshit.
Yeah.
And they're so isolated that if an American even
did they just burn all the books and like just get rid of like all information there?
Yes, and they tell them the craziest shit. And so from there, I got real. I thought this is insane as I'm watching this whole documentary. So then I went on YouTube and I watched these interviews by North Koreans who would escape to South Korea. These people are so brainwashed. Like one girl, it took her a year to get normal. She got to South Korea. She couldn't believe what she saw. She couldn't believe it at all. And then she thought for a year, she said, I thought that whatever his name is, the leader, Kim Song, whatever. Yeah, was listening to her thoughts. So she had to be careful of her thoughts. And she was afraid of what would happen.
Oh my gosh.
And she thought the Americans were going to kill her and eat her because they were cannibals, because that's what she learned and whatever. That's how fucked up.
They're teaching we're cannibals?
Oh, yeah. That we'd eat their children. Crazy shit.
Dude,
I cannot.
That's so depressing. It's so depressing to think that there's like an entire country like that.
Well, that's why like it's scary that they have nukes, because like I'm sure we could go in there, kick their ass. They'll probably bomb a nuke. But then what do you do with the people?
Yeah, the poor people, man.
Well, you got to go in there and try and run it, and they're going to maybe kill themselves. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Crazy.
Did you guys see Russell Crowe's new one?
No.
Oh, you're going to love this. You definitely got to watch. It's Showtime's new show. It just aired the other night. Katrina and I watched the first episode. It's called The Loudest Voice. It's Russell Crowe. He's like super overweight. He plays, Roger Ailes. So the guy who is the executive producer for Fox News, right?
Okay.
They follow his whole story. So it's all based on like true events, true stories.
I saw the trailer. Yeah.
And I didn't. It was 1996 when Fox News was created. Yeah. I don't know if you knew that or not. But it tells the story of why and how that all happened. The first episode was great. So,
wild.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's like all the behind the scenes, the meetings, how that evolved.
You said that's on Showtime?
Yeah, it's a Showtime series.
And
the first one just dropped. I can't, and Russell Crowe is doing a great job. I mean, I've only watched the first episode, but.
You know what he was remarking?
He's a good actor.
Yeah. Did you guys ever watch
A Beautiful Mind?
No, that was good though.
That was good. Gladiator?
No, that one's good too. Thanks, Justin.
Yeah.
Les Miserables. Did you guys ever watch that?
Oh, no. That was not one I would pick.
Oh, shut up.
No, I've never seen that.
I do like that. I've seen the play. Don't get me wrong.
Have you watched the movie?
No.
Okay.
I don't watch movies of plays.
First of all.
It's not like on my list.
Oh, I'm so tough. Listen to me. No. First of all.
I'm so tough.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
First of all, one of the greatest stories ever written. When you watch it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But in that, he sings and he acts in such profound ways.
Hey, this is what happens when you listen to Enya and Deadlift.
Oh, my God. You guys are so uncultured.
We are. Exactly, dude.
Hey, oh, shit. You know what I didn't tell you guys?
Sorry, dude.
A new study just came out. This is fucking crazy. Processed foods, or one of the preservatives in processed foods.
I saw your story.
Is linked. They're linking it to possibly linking it to the spike in autism.
Oh boy.
What?
There goes the neighborhood.
There's a preservative in foods called propionic acid, PPA, and it's used to extend like shelf life and reduce mold in packaged foods, breads, and cheeses. And they're finding that it could adversely affect the development and differentiation of neurons in fetal brains. In children with autism spectrum disorder. So they're starting to link this preservative to potentially being one of the reasons why autism is going up.
What's it found in?
Processed foods.
Like all processed foods?
No. Mainly, you have to look it up. You're going to have to look at the back of the food to see if it's in there. Now, here's the thing about this.
It'd be nice to see what are the common offenders, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, this is one that we've identified. I guarantee there's more. Huh. Here's the thing that pisses me off is that these foods have been sold forever. Everybody's like, they're totally safe, totally safe, totally safe. Then a study comes out and everybody's like, oh shit, don't eat that. But meanwhile, thousands of people have eaten it. And this only reinforces what we always say, which is, you know, rather than thinking something's safe and just assuming it's safe, assume that it's not safe and stick with the whole natural foods, because shit like this tends to happen.
Yeah.
And it's not just about calories, macros, and whatever.
What were the controls in this study? Like, how did they run this study?
Well, they did this with, they studied it with mice, and they found that it could cause it in mice. So this is step one.
Okay.
But I don't know, man.
Yeah, something to pay attention to for sure.
Definitely, definitely. So whole natural foods we kind of evolved with. So I'm not saying that they're always going to be safe, but my money would be on that, right? My money would be on this is probably not going to cause weird things later on. And these invented foods that we've, you know, created and throw chemicals in there to preserve it or whatever, that we do studies on, and we do a 6-month or 12-month study. And okay, it's safe. Doesn't really mean it's safe necessarily, because we don't know generationally. Studies are never perfect. And this just kind of highlights that, and it's a little bit,
Well, maybe we can look up. I'd love to see like what it's most common in. I mean, it's such a broad statement to say in processed foods. Like, is it, there's got to be certain foods that it's more common.
I think breads is what the article said, but I don't know. I haven't looked it up. It's to prevent mold, the growth of mold. So think of things that mold. So breads, cheeses.
Okay.
And I can't think. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
No more easy cheese for me.
I don't know if milk. I don't know if it would be milk. I don't think so. So especially if you get organic milk, right?
Right.
I don't think so. Anyway. Oh, another cool thing. So everybody's doing protein rice now with the Kettle and Fire.
Dude, I tell you,
that shit's flying, by the way.
I tell you what, I sense that. That's the only way I make my rice now. I just make sure I stay stocked up on the Kettle and Fire stuff in my refrigerator, and every time we make rice.
You add 20-something grams of protein to rice.
And here's the thing, too. I make rice in bulk. And one of the things that anyone who makes rice in bulk and you put it in your refrigerator, the next day you normally have to add more water to it because it gets all hard and sticky and then to fluff it back up. When you do it with the broth, it keeps it all fluffy.
It's because there's protein in there.
Yeah. It tastes better that way. Yeah. So it stores better that way.
For the listeners that don't know, you can, instead of using water to make rice, you can use bone broth, and our favorite is Kettle and Fire, and replace the water. And now you have rice that contains protein because bone broth has got collagen protein in it. But they also have like meals in cartons, like what is it? Chili.
I still haven't tried that yet.
Oh, it's fucking amazing. So make your protein rice, then put the Kettle and Fire chili on top of it. Mm. You have an incredible macro profile. You've got lots of proteins,
meal right there.
Healthy fats. You've got your carbs and your starches from some of the beans in the chili, but also from the rice. But here's what they also do. They have subscriptions now. So you can go online and sign up for a bone broth subscription where they'll mail to your door, you know, X amount of cartons of, you know, maybe like you can get 6 cartons a month or 12 cartons or 18 cartons of bone broth a month.
It's crazy that we're going this direction. I just actually finally got my dog food on subscription like that. I had been ordering my dog food one at a time, like, or picking it up at the store, and I finally like figured it out. I'm like, you know what? I just need to sit down and do the math on, you know, how many times I serve out of a bag and then figure out, okay, I need two bags.
I did that, a while
back. Oh, man, so much nicer now. Because it's one of those things that I always forget to check, and then I go down to go fill their bowls up, and I'm like, oh, shit, bag's out. I got to go run to the store, now having it delivered all the time. It seems like everything is going that direction where we just have everything automated.
Yeah, that's like the first step. I haven't quite done that with groceries yet, except for like ButcherBox or something like that, you know, where I'm constantly getting, you know, that supply. But other than that, I could totally see the convenience is there. It's awesome.
No, it's amazing. And it typically will save you money. And it's a new internet model.
I was going to ask you that.
It's kind of a no-brainer.
Is it a deal? Do you get a better deal?
You do get a better deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they mail it to your door.
Oh, shit. I may as well do it. Rice is a staple. A staple.
Well, see, I like bone broth for breaking a fast, and I also like it as a whole natural alternative to protein shakes post workout. So, after a workout, you know, if I don't eat food, because that's the ideal, right? Just eat some food if I want to do the post workout thing. There's either the other options are the convenience of a protein shake, or the convenience of bone broth, which you just warm up and you sip on it, and it's obviously different than protein powder, right? It's not sweet, so it's got that you know, kind of savory flavor.
Processed.
And I add a little salt to it, so now I can replenish my electrolytes. I got the collagen protein, and it's made from, you know, real food.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
This quaz brought to you by Organifi. For those days you fall short on getting your organic veggies or whole food nutrition, Organifi fills the gap with laboratory-tested, certified organic superfoods to help give your health and performance the added edge. Try Organifi totally risk-free for 60 days by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the coupon code MINDPUMP for 20% off at checkout.
First question is from Funasal. Are resistance bands actually useful as a workout tool or just an Instagram sales gimmick?
Boy, if you had asked me about resistance bands, you know, 15 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, I would have been like, stupid. Don't waste your time. Lift weights. They don't do anything. But then I actually discovered the true benefit of resistance bands. And the way I was introduced to the real benefit of resistance bands was just studying strength athletes, and in particular, it was powerlifters. And I noticed that a lot of powerlifters were using resistance bands to augment their training. Like, they would do a squat. They would also use chains and stuff, but they'd use bands too.
Yeah.
Where they would do a squat, and instead of squatting with 500 pounds, they would squat with 300 pounds, but then they'd have bands attached to the bar and anchored in the floor. And I thought to myself, like, why do that? Why not just add weight? And as I thought about it, it dawned on me, resistance bands produce a different type of resistance, a different the way the resistance hits you is far different. Like if I'm lifting a barbell and I'm doing a barbell squat, for example, it's if I have 300 pounds of the bar, it's 300 pounds at the top, it's 300 pounds at the bottom. It's all the way through with 300 pounds. If I attach a band, the band is heaviest when it's most stretched out. So the further you stretch out a band, the harder the resistance becomes. Right. So the shorter it becomes, the easier it is. So if I attach a band at the top of the bar, at the top of the weight, where I'm strongest, at the top of the rep, I should say, it's heaviest. When I squat down, it gets easier where I'm weakest. And so now I can match my strength curve.
Yeah.
And when I started adding bands like that to my workouts, I was fucking blown away by the results. The other thing with bands that I like is that they send a muscle building signal. It's not as loud by themselves, not as loud as free weights might do, but the benefit of that is they don't damage the body. And so for something like trigger sessions, which trigger sessions for me have always been a game changer. It's a staple in MAPS Anabolic. It's something that I think eventually will go mainstream beyond MAPS Anabolic. I think people will start implementing the concept of trigger sessions where on your off days, you're doing very light movements. You're doing low intensity, but still getting a little bit of a pump. It sends a muscle building signal, facilitates recovery. It gets your body to improve faster. And the best way to do those is with bands because they're A, convenient, and B, they just don't cause as much damage. I don't get as sore. I don't get as beat up with bands like I do with weights. And so it's perfect for trigger sessions.
I think I realized how effective bands were around the same time that I realized that I didn't need to be training so intensely every single workout. Mm-hmm. And that's when that really, I think when you're still in that mindset of I got to go to the gym and I got to beat myself up, and then you feel like a band workout, it seems like it's worthless in comparison to that, right? Like you go in and you do some barbell lifts to failure. Like that feels nothing like a rubber band freaking workout. Mm-hmm. Nothing at all like that.
Even if you have heavy, hard bands.
Right, yeah. Exactly. It just doesn't feel anything as bad as that does as far as soreness is concerned and the body aches and everything that comes from that. And so when I was training and chasing that feeling all the time, the thought of bands was like, oh, these are worthless. This is pointless. But once I knew better and realized that I had to back off my intensity and I started to see more results in my training, then the application of bands became great. And that's the same thing that you alluded to, Sal. And I don't know if we have any real science to support this, although it makes logical sense to me that when you're holding free weights and your body's got to stabilize them all over the place, that the type of damage or the type of recruitment that you're going to get from all different muscles and soreness is going to be greater, and the demand on the CNS, I would think, would be much greater.
And I think too, I speculate that a lot of people are weak in the end range of motion, and they don't put a lot of like work in that, especially in their training. Like if they're not doing a lot of mobility practices, all these things, they're just trying to get the weight to the point where they're the strongest, and see if they can like use whatever technique they can with momentum or whatever to get the weight in that direction. And I think that bands kind of, they gradually take you into that peak of the strongest point and then bring you back. And so you really have to hyper-focus on that whole process and feel, how much tension you need to still apply, throughout that entire range of motion.
Now that being said, it's a tool. Right,
yeah.
It's another tool that I think is very.
But it's one of the best tools.
It is. No, it's an incredible tool and extremely useful, not just for trigger sessions, but also like what Sal was saying, where you can add it to, your basic barbell lifts and everything like that, and manipulate the strength curve. Like, so there's a ton of value in using them. I just be careful of the people that are in the camp of it's all you need. It's all you need. It's all and it's not. Can you get in shape and only use bands? Sure. Is it the most optimal or the fastest way to get in shape? Absolutely not.
I think if you combine it with other modalities, like great. You're saying, Adam, like if you did body weight exercises and you did bands, you'd have a great, like MAPS Anywhere, we do that. There's band exercises in there, and we're also doing body weight movements. And so the way that we inject bands is in a way that maximizes
the frequency building.
It maximizes the benefits that the bands can provide. One of the reasons why I think bands maybe don't create as much damage is what we have found is that when resistance is added to a muscle, in its elongated or stretched position, you tend to get more damage. When resistance is added to a muscle in its contracted position, you tend to get less damage. In bands, the resistance tends to be lighter when the muscle is extended and harder when there's a full contraction. So it's really, really good at working a muscle through the way its natural strength curve works and not overloading it where it may cause a lot of damage. Now, the good part about that is you could do a lot of them frequently, and you can do more work with these and not worry so much about recovery like you would with free weights. The bad news is you have to do more with bands to get the same bang for your buck that you get with free weights. Mm-hmm. But that's why combining it with other exercise modalities like body weight training or like free weights and machines, that is ideal. And so that's why I think
it's a great transitionary tool, like you said, with the powerlifting, especially. Like, you keep adding in like 2.5 plates is one way to do it, and like incrementally work the load, you know, slowly like that. But also, just, you know, if you're stuck at a certain weight, to then add rubber bands to work through that gives you a new stimulus.
Now, that being said, what are you guys' thoughts on the growing trend of adding them to hammer strength machines and selectorizer machines?
I think now they're using it like a gimmick.
It's silly.
Yeah, now they're using it like a gimmick. I mean, could you program it in a way to where it makes sense on machines? Yeah, you probably could. I have yet to see. The only people I ever see programming bands properly are strength athletes, powerlifters in particular, and high-level athletes who use bands for explosive work. That's another thing bands are great for. Mm-hmm. Bands are phenomenal for explosive type exercises because they're safe to do so.
Yeah, it minimizes the damage on the joints.
Yes, but as far as the way people use them now on I see on social media, just like most of the stuff I see on social media around fitness, they see something and they're like, oh, this is cool. People say it works, so now I'm just going to throw it in. No. Just because it works doesn't mean it's going to work if you just throw it in. You have to use it in a particular way to make it, to really maximize its benefits or to get any benefit from it. So it needs to be programmed properly.
Yeah, I saw a guy doing the sideways chest press on a hammer strength with bands attached to it the other day, and I was just like, might get a little more benefit for doing just some dumbbell presses.
Yeah,
bro.
You're doing a stupid exercise, it's and then you dumb. Add a band to it, so it's now slightly better than stupid.
Next question is from Samano81. I have stopped using wrist wraps and a belt while deadlifting, and I can't lift nearly as much. Will I still make gains at this new lower weight? What can I do to keep progressing at the lower weight?
No doubt you can lift more weights when you use lifting aids like wrist wraps and a belt. Now, can you still make gains? Yes, the gains will be different. What do I mean by that? The gains you'll be making now are going to be focused on your weakest links more than before.
Grip.
So what's preventing you from lifting as much weight as you could before? Your grip isn't as strong as it was with wrist straps, and your core isn't as stable as it was wearing a belt. So the two places you're going to make the most gains at this point
are there initially.
Are in your grip and in your core, which is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. Now, somebody may be like, hey, I don't care about my grip and my core. I want to keep getting gains in my glutes, hamstrings, and back. In which case, you could make an argument to say, fine, stick to your wrist straps and belt. But, you know, I'm the kind of person that's like this. It's like, unless you're competing with those things on you, most of your day is not in the gym deadlifting with these aids. Most of your day consists of you not wearing these things. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to have a type of strength that can't be applied as effectively and efficiently in the real world?
Yeah, you're creating a weaker link for you down the road.
Yeah.
That's going to end up being exposed when you do a movement that you know you're strong enough to do, but now you've gotten so strong in that movement and haven't built up your grip or your core to back you up on that lift. When you're not strapped, you're not belted, you're going to be in a world of hurt.
I'm on both sides of this. Like, I see value in it sometimes, especially when I was competing. Like, when I was competing and, you know, if my forearms were the limiting factor to me trying to develop my back more, and I'm trying to create more of a V taper by building my back even more massive, impressive, and the judges aren't telling me my forearms aren't developed enough or strong enough and I could give two shits about them. I saw definitely value in me using straps to keep pushing those limits. And because that's what my goals were. So for me, Like when I talk about this to somebody, it's like,
yeah, if it's pure aesthetic,
right? And so you know, so I'm the same person who would absolutely use belt straps for those reasons during those times. And where I'm at right now, I actually have a really hard time going anything above about 350 on my deadlift, because once I get 350 and over five reps, I lose grip. And so I'm still training with that weight because I'm trying to develop my grip strength, and I want it to be more because I don't have to get on stage, and I really don't care if my V taper is bigger or not. Mm-hmm. Like I care more about being balanced. So to me, the answer is like, just really understand your goals and who you are and what you care about. And if you understand that, you know, for the average person who just wants to be balanced and doesn't want injuries and wants to be strong in all aspects, then using tools very judiciously, in my opinion, is the most ideal way to train. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong if someone decides to use straps or a belt or tools like this. Just, you know that you're crutching one area to try and exaggerate another area. And if you're not getting on stage, or you don't really care that much about that big difference, then you would probably want to close the gap on that discrepancy.
Yeah, I think I want to say early to mid 20s when I ditched the wrist straps. And up until that point, I started lifting weights consistently at the age of 14. So I'd been lifting weights for a long time. And every single back workout that I did was with wrist straps, because I saw the bodybuilders do it. And so that's just what I did. When it was back day, I brought my wrist straps with me, and I'd wrap them around the bar when I did pull downs or rows or dumbbell rows or machine rows. And so I trained like that for, I don't know, 8 to 10 years. And I remember when I took off the wrist straps. And the reason why I took them off is I think I was doing something with my dad, and I've talked about him many times on this podcast. And I couldn't believe how much stronger his grip was than mine. I lift the weights all the time. And I was like, oh, this fuck. I got to get my grip stronger. So I threw away the wrist straps. You know how long it took me before my grip could actually catch up to the rest of my body?
Probably like a year.
It took me like a year or more. I remember
for six months,
like my hands would just get fatigued and my forearms would get pumped, and I'd have to go lighter and lighter and lighter. Mm-hmm. But after about a year and a half or so, my grip really caught up, and now it's not really a limiting factor anymore. It doesn't limit me on any of my lifts. So when you make this switch, so if you stick to the switch, if you think to yourself, like, I don't want to use these aids anymore, I just want to lift without them, be patient. It's going to take you a long time.
Yeah.
It's going to take you a very, very long time.
And don't think you're not going to all of a sudden start losing muscle on your back.
That's the great, thank you for bringing that up. You will not.
You're not going to, that's what you need to understand, that like, it's not like, oh shit, now that you can't deadlift 400 pounds anymore, like all of a sudden your back's going to start shrinking. Like you're not going to see a difference or really feel a difference in the back. All it'll be more an ego check for you. And that's what it is for me. Like, right now, going to the gym and being the guy who's used to ripping 500 pounds up off the ground and working with 300 and something, like, yeah. And I'll tell you, it's that's where it gets me. And I'm looking to my left and my right, and there's two people that are deadlifting more weight than me, and I know I'm strong enough to get more off the floor. That's the only thing I got to worry about, is checking that. Like, it has nothing. My back development is just as fine.
It's I never use wrist straps anymore, but I use a belt. But I only use a belt if I go over 400, 450.
Yeah.
Then I'll put the belt on, and that's just because I developed a friendship with my belt. So I like it. I pull it out, 500 pounds, let's do this. And
it's more psychological.
Well, I mean, it does help me. I mean, if I don't wear the belt, I mean, could I've done 500 without a belt, but it's not as easy, that's for sure. I'm pretty sure I can lift a good 30 more pounds with the belt on. But yeah, I mean, give yourself some time. It's going to take at least a year to be able to do what you did before without those things.
Next question is from Danny Burdick. How hard is it to actually lose muscle?
Yeah, not hard at all.
Yeah.
That's really easy.
Well, and I also think that this, there's a big difference in genetics here too. And what comes to mind right away, I mean, when I had an ex-girlfriend who was a competitor, and, you know, we couldn't have been more opposites as far as the way our genetic makeup. She is the one that had just muscle. Like, she barely had to exercise or lift weights. Her body always was, she started touching weights and she built
just
muscle.
Just a horse.
Yeah. She could run and I remember when her coach was training her, and they had her on like 1,100 calories and doing cardio, and like she did not lose muscle. Like, she barely lost any weight on the scale and could push her body.
So annoying.
Yeah, it is. Especially for a guy like me, because what I notice right away is if I don't hit the intake as far as the macro profiles that I need, if I'm not getting that protein intake, I'm not stimulating muscle, my body does start to adapt and lose muscle mass really fast.
Yeah, and same for me, but I will say this, the longer that you keep muscle on your body,
yeah,
the more it becomes
easy to get it back.
Quote unquote permanent. Okay? Yeah. And it's never permanent, but it becomes more permanent. I remember when I had my wellness studio years ago, next door to my wellness studio was a breakfast joint. It was a coffee shop, and it would always get super busy on the weekend. They had really, really good food.
Great flank steak
Yeah, they do. And I remember I was training a client one day, and it was a Saturday morning, and there was this little, he was probably 5'6" or 5'7" man who was in his 80s. It's like this 80-year-old man, and he's sitting on the bench, and he stands up so he can kind of see into the gym what we're doing. He's watching us, and we're working out, and I see him watching. It's okay. It wasn't too out of the ordinary because people would watch sometimes. But then he walked in, and I remember I'm training my client, and I'm in the middle of a set. I'm spotting my client, so I don't really have the time to tell this person, you know, to acknowledge that this person's walking in. And this 80-something-year-old man comes in, grabs my 70-pound kettlebell, and he cleans it. And then he presses it with one arm and he puts it back down. And I was like, holy shit. So I stopped, you know, training my client. I'm like, hold on a second. I walk over. I'm like, man, I'm like, did you just press that? And he had a Russian accent. And I looked at this guy's forearms and they were, I mean, he was obviously old. You could tell he wasn't really working out anymore, but he had these little, like, looked like little softballs on his forearms. So I said, you've done that before, haven't you? And he goes, oh yes. He goes, I used to be National Olympic lifter for Soviet Union or whatever. So I'm like, do you work out anymore? He's like, no, I haven't worked out for like 50 years or so, however long. And it made me realize that he had trained so hard and so long and so consistently for so long, mm-hmm, that he stopped working out, and there was an amount of muscle that became kind of permanent on his body. Right. I'm noticing that now at 40 years old. Like, mm-hmm, when I was 18 or 20, if I didn't eat right and didn't exercise, my muscle was gone in 2 days. Now, I still lose muscle, but it's not as fast, and I gain it back really quick.
You get
quick.
It back really quick.
Really quick.
Yeah. I mean, I think of it, and it's kind of a weird or a different analogy, but it's like riding a bike. I mean, you cannot ride a bike for 20 years and get back on a, mm-hmm, bike and ride it. But because the muscle memory is there from doing it for, yeah, so long, that there's definitely got to be some CNS stuff that's happened there that
I think there's muscle hyperplasia, muscle fiber hyperplasia.
That too, but definitely, yeah, the patterns you've established and hardwired into your body all those years, that has to play a factor in that. And then responding, because you're so hyper responsive, because your body recognizes it.
Yeah, well, when you work out, your muscle fibers obviously grow. It's known as muscle hypertrophy. But then it's widely believed that through extended exposure to resistance training type stress, like over and over and over and over again for years and years and years, your muscle fibers actually split and become two new muscle fibers with their own satellite cells and all that stuff. And what ends up happening when you stop working out is muscle fibers shrink, but you don't lose muscle fibers. So if you end up building and developing more, like a greater number of muscle fibers, that stays with you. So although your muscles can shrink or the fibers can shrink, you don't lose the number of fibers. And I think that's what's happened, mm-hmm, to me, and I think that's what happens to other people who've been working out for years, is that they've just got more muscle fibers now. So although they'll still shrink and lose muscle, it's not like it used to be.
Yeah, I don't think Ben Pack's ever going to lose muscle.
Oh, see, ever. What a great example.
Right.
You know how hard it was for him to lose muscle?
He's trying. It's so crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, failing at that.
But yeah,
he's just always going to be a monster.
But if you ever want to see how fast you can lose muscle, I don't recommend you do this, but take some gauze, wrap up your knee or your arm. Don't use it at all. Walk around on a wheelchair. Put your leg up. Don't activate it whatsoever. Take the gauze off a week later, and you will trip yourself out. How much muscle you lose?
I think this question though stems from somebody like me when I was 17 years old, and I was worried that like if I didn't hit my protein intake that day, or I didn't train super hard, that muscle would just start falling. Or if I ate low calorie for a day, mm-hmm, that my body now. Muscle is not easy to lose if you're a consistent lifter, you're consistent at eating, and you decide to fast one day.
It's not going to happen.
No. Your body's not going to all of a sudden switch over and start metabolizing muscle as its primary source of fuel at all. Its priority is always to get sugar, glucose first. If it runs and taps out of that, the next favorite source is body fat. It would rather use fat as fuel. Its last source is paring down muscle. It's very, very rare that would even happen. It's more likely your body would adapt to the lack of using it and or feeding it what it needs to maintain
The two things that will make you lose muscle are the two big things that will make you lose muscle are illness. Illness can definitely cause your body to get rid of muscle, and inactivity. Those are the two biggest things. If you stop moving, you'll lose strength and muscle very quickly because your body has that. Your muscles are there for a purpose, and the purpose is to move, function, and support your body, but they are also expensive in the sense that they utilize a lot of calories. So your body's always weighing out, do we need this muscle? Because if we have it, we're gonna require more calories. And if you don't have a reason to need the muscle, in other words, you're inactive, your body's like, cool, we can become more efficient. We don't need a V8 engine. We only need a 4-cylinder. Let's get rid of these extra 4 cylinders. So those are really the two main ways you can cause your body to lose a lot of muscle. The other ways you could cause your body to lose muscle by sending a signal through activity to tell your body that you need less muscle.
Yeah, like lots of running.
Yeah, like super long endurance type stuff. That could cause you to lose muscle, but that requires a lot of work. And I can't think of, and starving yourself for very, very long periods of time. But like Adam said, your body's going to get rid of its body fat. Once it gets rid of that, then it'll start burning muscle. It doesn't happen until much later. You'd have to do a really long fast for that.
Next question is from K Rock. I am almost 2 months postpartum and have terrible forward shoulder. From breastfeeding to baby wearing, nearly all my activities are only making my posture worse. What can I do to combat this?
You know, this is where, I used to love, this is the part of my job that I used to love as a personal trainer. And this is also where I try and explain to people that, you know, all the MAPS programs are great skeletons or foundations, a foundation as far as like where you should start from and then build or modify from there. And this is a person that I would modify some things, right? We're less worried about maybe shrugs and calf exercises, or I don't care if you get as many squats or deadlifts in this week. But what I want to do is I definitely want to ramp up the frequency of exercises like seated rows and rear delts and bent over type rows and areas that are going to work on the muscles that are going to help combat this problem, right? So if we have this forward shoulder where our shoulders are rounded forward, we have forward head, what ends up happening is all those upper back muscles are elongated and they need to be trained and shortened and tightened. And so
strengthened,
yeah. Right? Yeah. So that's what we want to do. And so I want to do that as frequently as possible. So my trigger sessions, like, so if I was following MAPS anabolic, my trigger sessions now become band pull aparts and band rows all the time. Your exercises, I'm making sure that every day there's some sort of a row movement inside of your exercises, and it may replace maybe deadlifting or something else. This is how you modify, and this is how you make something custom to you, is you still follow a training program and routine, but you now start to individualize it by these specific areas.
What would be a good program for someone like her, because she's 2 months postpartum, so I'm assuming that time and schedule is a bit of an issue. So she might not have the time to go to a gym. She might not have a sitter, you know, a baby that's 2 months old. Many times you don't want to leave your baby with someone. MAPS Anywhere would be perfect for someone like this. And in MAPS Anywhere, we actually placed a special emphasis on scapular retraction and depression through exercises like prone cobras and other banded movements that we included in there. Here's the thing. There's a two-tiered approach to correcting a deviation in posture or to correct a muscle imbalance. Number one, you want to do some appropriately intense type exercise to make those muscles stronger. And I say appropriate because you want to go as heavy as your form will allow you to go. Because you have forward shoulder, if you just start pushing the weight past a certain point, your form is going to look shitty because you're just not connected and strong to some of those muscles. So use as much weight as your form will allow you to do. So with, you know, being able to pull the shoulders back and strengthen those muscles. You want to do those workouts relatively infrequently. So you're looking at 2 days or 3 days a week of those harder workouts. But there's a second part. The second part is every single day you want to do some kind of a movement or combination of movements that helps you connect to those muscles of the mid-back to give you that better posture. And the reason why you want to do it so frequently is because you're trying to out-compete mm-hmm. what you're doing all day long with your breastfeeding,
right.
holding the baby in front of you. You have to out-compete that. You have to send a signal that's louder than the one that you're currently sending it. Otherwise, that's the signal that's gonna dominate, and your form is just gonna stay bad.
And
or
that's
whatever.
Most of the training, because it has to be conscious, like conscious effort throughout your day of finding opportunities to place your shoulders in that position that's more beneficial for you, and also squeeze and really connect with that posture and solidify that, because it's tough, because like most of the tasks and everything is very forward position. You're always leaning over, you're always with your head forward and your shoulders rolled. So to make those opportunities happen, you have to be very conscious and make an effort towards that, like, continuously.
Well, this is where the fun part of customizing your program and individualizing it for you, and why there always be value in a personal trainer, and even our programs are amazing that we still encourage people to modify and change, because the most important thing, that if this is an issue for you, the most important thing that we can do, along whatever your fitness goals are, whether that be leaning up or building strength, what that is to address this while also getting in better shape. Mm-hmm. And, you're going to burn calories and build muscle by doing this. And now you want to make this a high priority, because it's also going to make you feel a lot better.
Yeah. And as far as form and control is concerned, the way you should approach your exercises is controlled and connected. So with when you're trying to correct an imbalance, it's all about perfect form. So go ahead and train hard, but the form has to be perfect. If your form breaks, go lighter. Mm-hmm. If your form breaks and you still go hard, you'll end up strengthening your current type of posture, which is the forward shoulder. You'll actually make it much worse. What's quite common with women who just have a baby, it's also common with women who get breast augmentation, is shoulder impingement issues. And frozen shoulder. Mm-hmm. And that's because that forward shoulder position, when the shoulder blades are rolled forward the way they are, and then you try to move your
set rotation.
Oh yeah, you lose you can potentially lose a tremendous amount of range of motion. And then what also comes with that is neck strain and tightness mm-hmm. and headaches. And so I so many times I used to love doing this as a trainer, because this was like my hook, man. I'd take somebody with forward shoulder, I'd correct that for them, and then I'd ask them, do you still get tension headaches? And they'd be like, oh my God, no, I don't get them anymore.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They were caused by
you them. Actually did an incredible video on Mind Pump TV. So if you don't have all Maps Anywhere or have one of our programs already that you could kind of modify and put this in there, you have a free resource on Mind Pump TV on a video that Sal titled, How to Fix Rounded Shoulders. And it's,
we'll put that in the show notes too.
Yeah, and it's got four steps on, and it's to the points of what we're making right now. It's a great video, and for somebody who's already following any other program, whether it's ours or not, you just integrate that. Integrate these exercises and movements, and quite frankly, you want to do them as frequently as possible. You're just trying,
just practicing them all day.
Yeah, so absolutely add that into your routine.
Perfect. And with that, go to mindpumpfree.com and download our guides. They're free. And they're awesome. You can also find all of us on Instagram. You can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, and Adam at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.